Christ.
Yes.
Jesus had changed my whole life.
Yes.
If anybody asks you just who I am,
yes,
tell them that I'm redeemed.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right.
Powerful statement.
Thank you.
Powerful statement.
Thank you.
Redeemed don't mean right.
Uh-huh.
Redeemed don't mean perfect.
All right.
But I'm bought with a price.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Come on now.
I mean, Jesus thought enough of me, Deacon Billy.
Yes, sir.
You're some damaged goods, but I'm going to buy you back.
Wow. All
right. Yeah. All right.
Talk to me.
What you say? What a man, what a man, what a man.
Amen.
I'll buy you back anyway.
Amen.
What you say?
Hmm.
I am deep. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. I feel a shout coming up. Luke. The gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19. I want to focus a sermonic spotlight. The gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 45 through 48, and chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to do this message, thank you, Jesus, in two parts. Too much for one day. So I'm not going to read verses 1 through 8, but I want you to know verses 1 through 8 on your own quiet time has the context in which I'm about to attempt to preach from. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to concentrate and see God get us through what we can get through. But there's more to come. God got something for us today here.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, God. Thank you. Luke chapter 19. We begin at the 45th verse. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, I ask and ask your name in all the earth. We thank you, God. It's once again another time. Father God, that we sit at your feet and we stand behind this holy rostrum, Father God. We know that we are unable to do this by ourselves. Father God, I can't preach or teach it by myself. We need your Holy Spirit to come in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for removing the obstacles. We thank you for removing the roadblocks that prevented your people from getting your word today. Father God, I'm here because you woke me up this morning.
Yes.
I'm here, Father God, asking you to give them a word from on high. Father God, let it be a tailor-made, rhema word, fit for their circumstance and situation that they're in right now. Bind Satan as he goes to and fro trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people.
Yes,
anoint their minds afresh. Make
yes.
this word plain enough
yes,
so that a child can understand
yes,
it.
Lord.
Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Let this word rest heavily in their
yes.
spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Give us a good time in you, Father God. Allow your Holy Spirit to come on in here and speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Bind Satan right now. Lord Jesus, allow me to preach. Because heaven gets happy and hell gets upset.
Right.
Whenever you come to the Senate, we'll be careful to give you honor, the praise, and the glory.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it.
Yes.
God's going to say in Luke chapter 19, beginning at the 45th verse. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. They sought to destroy Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. And the New English translation, that word attentive said, they were amazed at the word that came out of his mouth.
Yes, yes.
They were in awe of what Jesus was teaching.
Yes.
Now Jesus was teaching from the same text and scrolls that the scribes and Pharisees are reading from. But coming out of the mouth of Jesus,
wow.
they were amazed.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Ain't nothing like the anointing, bro.
The word right. preaching the word.
The anointing breaks the yoke.
Yes, yes.
What you say?
Amen. Praise God.
I like to put a tag on this text. Part one, what it takes.
Mm. All right.
What it takes. Let's not go through it. You'll get the what it takes. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. This passage that was just read into your hearing begins what is described in Latin and Greek as the passion of Jesus Christ. The word passion in Latin means the suffering of Jesus Christ. This passage shows the beginning of the solemn, high, holy process by which our Lord constituted the faith that would bring us out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Wow.
This event is like no other event in the Bible. We read it reverently and study it on tippy toe. It is here in this text that we must behold the suffering of the Lamb of God. How strange it is that the Son of God will be killed by the people of God in the city of God.
Well.
All the irony and contradiction swirls around this suffering. When I begin to study these passages reverently with bated breath, as I studied the preceding text, as our Lord rode into the city on his donkey, right before this, they threw down their palm branches and celebrated him.
All right.
Then next, they will soon yell, "Crucify him!" People are a trip.
Amen.
Did I just say that?
Yes.
People are a trip.
Yes.
They will celebrate you on Sunday and stab you in the back on Friday. These events are not ordinary events. But it gives rise to everything we believe as followers of Jesus Christ. I will submit to you this morning in no uncertain terms that the definite character of our religion, it's not that you speak in tongues.
Amen.
The definite character of our religion is not that you run and dance around the church.
Well.
Because you can be a hellraiser and run and dance around the church.
Amen.
And wear white too.
Amen.
The definite character of our religion is that we believe that something dead on Friday can come back to life on Sunday morning.
Amen.
We are a religion of resurrection. If you don't embrace resurrection, you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well,
it is the core of who we are.
Amen.
If you don't embrace the literal resurrection, you can't embrace the principle of resurrection.
All right.
Am I going too fast?
No.
It is the principle of resurrection that we use in the areas of our lives that have fallen asleep under the death spell of people that try to kill us. Something dead on Friday can come back to life again on Sunday. Why are you looking at me like that? I need every depressed and broken, every despair believer here, sit up in your chair, wipe the tears out your eyes.
Yeah.
I come against every spirit of worry, anxiety, and fear that might be in this church today.
Yeah.
The devil is a lie.
Yeah.
In the mighty and miraculous name of Jesus, Lord, the Lord, I decree that you can't come back.
Yeah.
Come on now.
From what they done killed you on.
All right.
You need to speak to yourself and say, life will find a way.
Yeah.
Life will find a way.
Yeah.
It might not find a way when you want it. It may not come back the way you pray for it. But sooner or later, God is going to reach into the mess and make a way out of no way for you.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
Here it is. Life is stronger than death. Y'all got me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm talking about takes that. This is what it takes. Life is stronger than death.
Uh-huh.
I ain't talking about your life. Your life ain't stronger than death.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Come on, Jesus. I got to refresh your memory, you Bible reading. Jesus comes here with Mary Martha. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died.
Yeah.
Jesus said, what you say? Mm-hmm. He would not have died if he had showed up early, Lord. Jesus said, hey, I am the resurrection.
Okay.
I am the what?
Life.
Life is stronger than death.
Yes, it is.
Y'all going to get what it takes in a minute.
Yes, it is.
God is going to fix everything. Life is stronger than death. Because guess what? Love is stronger than life.
Yes.
Who is love? We're going to get what it takes in a minute. Y'all see my topic coming here?
Yes.
That is what we believe. We believe in the resurrecting power of love.
Yes.
We believe if you put love on it, it will rise up early in the morning.
Amen. Yes, it will.
Put love on your dead situation. It'll rise up early in the morning.
Yes.
Amen.
We believe anything you put love on can be saved.
Yes.
Anything you love can come back from the dead.
Oh, yes.
I don't know who I'm talking about today. I don't know who you want to live, y'all. Don't cuss them out. Don't fuss them out. Put some love on them.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
Yeah.
If your circumstance is getting the best of you and it has died, caused you to die, roll the stone on you. Put your love on it.
Yes.
Put your love on it.
Amen.
Your love is my love.
Amen.
Your love is everybody's love.
Yes.
I'm talking about Jesus. Yes. Put Jesus on it. And let God make a way out of no way.
Yes.
Our religion is rooted in the audacity of hope.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
It is hope that makes us Christians. That is why we don't go into the hospital when the doctors are shaking their heads. We don't care what the nurses say. We do not receive the report of the doctor.
Wow.
We don't care what the nurses got to say. We as Christians walk in the hospital and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It don't look good for me.
Come on now.
But even if I don't get to walk out of here again, access from the body be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
I still got victory. In my life, Paul said, I got victory. And in my death, I got victory.
Yeah.
That's why I just want to know him in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God.
Thank God. Y'all miss y'all shout.
Amen.
If you don't know the difference of the resurrection, watch this, Deacon Barry. Watch back. Can Pastor go a little bit deeper in the water?
Yes, sir.
If you don't know the difference of the resurrection, write this down. Resurrection means being that ought not be, but is. Being that not be, but is.
Yes, sir.
Something that should be dead, not alive, but it's alive anyway.
Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Amen. Yes, sir.
All right.
Y'all ain't feeling me up in hell. That is why when Jesus rose from the grave, watch this. He was there with Mary and Magdalene. And Mary could not recognize Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus got upset.
Jesus.
He said, Mary.
Uh-huh.
In his resurrected body.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes, sir.
Well,
he said, if anyone should have known what resurrection looked like,
well,
it should have been Mary who Jesus delivered from all those demons.
Well, yes.
When God then did something for you in your life and brought you back through some stuff, if nobody else recognized Jesus, you ought to recognize Jesus. I'm resurrection. You are resurrection.
Yes.
No, no, no.
My Lord,
I am being that ought not to be.
Yes.
Do y'all, are y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God has brought us out of some dead, hopeless situations. situations.
Yes.
We don't just believe and celebrate the resurrection. We are the resurrection.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
The reason God is sharing this with you this morning, because we all are familiar with the resurrection story, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. We're familiar with it. God starts from the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood from the stress of the work of the weight of the world on his shoulder. He said the droplets of blood. And this is actually not a fairy tale. This is the truth. Because as I did some medical examination and study of it, it says that severe stress in some individuals caused them to excretiate blood out of their pores. But it takes extreme pressure and rare circumstances. It's very uncommon. But Jesus sweated blood because the weight of the world was on his shoulders.
Yes, yes, thank you, God.
Did that make Jesus back up? No. He said, Father, can this cup pass from me? He said, no, but not my will. Let your will be done.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because there's some great things about to happen after you have some suffering.
That's right. That's right. Preach, Pastor.
He goes to Pilate. They whip him all night long.
Yes,
they
did.
Spit on him. Beat his face. And you kidding? He was unrecognizable. Put a crown of thorns on his head, mother. He didn't deserve that. He didn't say a mumbling word.
Yes.
Hang him on the cross. Then they put a tree on his back. A cross, and make him walk up the hill with it.
Yes.
With his cross that he should never have been carrying.
Jesus.
Get him up there and let him hang. Do you know at any moment he could have said, I'm done.
Right.
Stick a fork with me, I'm done.
Right.
Lord, send them angels.
Yes. Yes.
Take them out.
Yes.
But love.
Hallelujah.
Kept him walking up Golgotha. Yes. That's what it takes. It's not to talk about, I'm talking about the theology that backs the matter, what it takes. That's what it takes.
Yes.
He kept walking, hung on the cross,
yes.
Standing there with nails in his hand.
Yes.
He didn't try to get off the cross. Then they buried him. Watch me now. That's the story we all know.
Yeah.
And I know we got some super religious people in here, not in this church. Isn't that an Easter message he's trying to preach?
Well,
I reserve, as a man of God that knows the word of God, to absorb myself in the full counsel of God, the full volume of the book.
Amen.
Yes.
When I study the word of God, I am not tied to holidays.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Hello. But guess this, that's not what I brought to teach you about the resurrection. I want y'all to know what happened between Sunday and Thursday.
Come on now, come on, come on.
That's where I'm coming today. That's the purpose of this. So y'all can see what happened between Sunday and Thursday. So we can see how Jesus handled those days preceding his death.
Yes.
Burial and resurrection. So that when we, God's people, so we can understand how we can become greater than we are.
Amen.
Come on.
Because once you see how Jesus handled it,
yes.
You can become greater. Because give me tell you something. Once he got up out of the grave,
yes.
He was greater than he was.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you, God.
I accepted this assignment. This word from God, because I know the people in this ministry want to be great.
Amen.
What Jesus does between Sunday and Thursday teaches us what the nature and destiny is all about. Our nature and destiny is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me walk you through and show you how our Lord conducted himself before he got killed, crucified.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God, there's only two ways to be great. I told you I can't give y'all all of this today.
Well.
But I'm going to give y'all an appetite.
Mm-hmm. All right.
There's only two ways in the kingdom of God to be great.
Yeah.
Number one, Jesus says, he that lives to be great among you Let him be what? Your servant.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
If you will not serve, you will not be great. In the world, you can be great with your money. You can shake your behind on TV and be great. You can buy some hair, put on some muscles, and you can be great in the world.
Yes, sir.
You will not be great in the kingdom of God until you learn how to wash somebody else's feet.
Amen.
People call themselves Christians. Yeah, I'm gonna go there. It's gonna be tight, but it's right.
All right then.
We claim to be Christians, but we're not humble. Things don't go our way. We do not have a servant attitude at all. Y'all don't understand even the half of it. And I'm not telling you this. I just want to share what a servant attitude does. Even though I'm told I'm pastor certain things I'm not supposed to do. But I'm a servant.
Amen.
I'm going to do it. I pulled up a church yesterday. The garbage can was outside. Still on the road from the garbage man that morning. Did I come to church and tell the deacons, please go get the garbage can? No, I didn't. Did I tell James, go get the garbage can? No, I did not. I put my stuff down in the car, went and got the garbage can, put it out there, and the garbage was full. I put all the garbage in the other garbage can. Came inside, I washed my hand and say nothing to nobody. Why? Why? Serve it first.
Yes, sir. Well.
How can you lead? Always want to lead, but you can't follow.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's like Deacon Drake tell me, Pastor, I ain't gonna come be a deacon no more because you ain't letting me pray. You letting Deacon Bailey pray. What is that? I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying I'm giving you an example of a servant.
Yes, sir.
That's
right. James, you not letting me sing a song. So I'm not going to sing. That's not a servant attitude. Because guess what? You don't need to lead nothing if you can't be humble and pay back. As a minister, you would never find a pastor get let a minister get up if he's going to show his butt up to Bible study. That's old school. Why? Because if you can't listen to me teach, why should I let you teach me?
Amen.
Amen.
What? You sit there and be a servant. Just because you got minister or whatever you got on your name, don't mean you're supposed to perform in it. You show up and be faithful and be a servant.
Amen.
You'll now be great in the kingdom of God if you can't be a servant.
All right.
This is basic Bible I'm giving you here.
Amen.
Jesus did it. Jesus, the King of Kings, did it. First thing, be a servant. The second thing, learn how to suffer.
Amen.
First Peter says this, after you have suffered a while, the Bible says, God says, I will exalt you and make your name great. Can't be great in the kingdom of God. This is what it takes. This is what it takes, y'all. Jesus, he was King of Kings before he came here.
Well, didn't say that.
He was Lord of Lords before he came here.
Well.
He could have had every knee bowed before he came here.
He sure is.
Don't you remember? Job would tell you, when I had Job, the guy said, told Job, where were you, Job? When I cast out the mountains and opened and put borders on the sea. Where were you, Job? When Job tried to question God and ask God why he had to go through what he had to go through. God got a way of making us remember real quick he got.
Yeah.
Only two ways to become great. Serve and suffer. Interesting that these are the things that one must do. One must endure. Now that God is showing us what it takes, please understand, God is showing us New Jerusalem for a minute, for a reason. I'm in my third year here.
Amen.
Amen.
That ain't no accident. accidental number.
Amen. That's right.
Third is God's number of completion.
Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I say, God, I've been praying for some stuff. Been 3 years now. We didn't have endured. Some of us endured some stuff that nobody else knows we were enduring. But God said, that's all right. You've been faithful on a few things. I'm going to make a rule over many.
Amen.
Because if I haven't learned something, Deacon Ben, in the last 3 years, I know how to read the little road signs God give me.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Every now and again, Brother Brown, God break me off a little something to give me a little taste of what it's going to be like when he really blow it up. He said, your labor's not in vain and your suffering's not in vain.
Yes, yes,
amen.
That's what it takes, my son. Just because now that I'm telling you, I don't change my principles. I don't change my mind.
That's right.
My mind and my principle is what it is. The only way you're going to change your circumstance and your situation, not to get me to change my principle, you need to line your life up with my principle.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, this one for the grown folks.
All right.
He don't change his principles to suit our situation?
Yes.
No, he don't. But check this out. In the crucible of suffering, God is knitting you.
Yeah.
Right.
And putting you back together.
Uh-huh.
And giving you things.
Uh-huh.
Teaching you things.
Yes.
That he could not give you if all your bills were paid.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
When I first met you, you didn't get up and expound on the word of God like that.
All right.
But since I've known you, you had to go through some suffering.
Yes, yes, yes.
He couldn't give you that, bro, with your job.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He said, I'd take that Negro's job.
That's right.
Yes.
But he put a word in you, didn't he?
Yes,
he
did.
It's not easy, bro.
No.
But it's his principle. Is there anybody here, Sister Thomas, that can testify, you think, that's what you say? They don't know how to pray until they had to pay some rent?
Hallelujah.
Why you ain't had no stress, you weren't thinking about God. But once you got yourself out there on your own, and now stuff is being required of you, yeah, you learn how to pray. You learn why your mom and your daddy was up in the midnight hour, calling in the name of the Lord. You learn this.
Hallelujah.
That's the way you can praise him.
God says so in the crucible of your suffering. He said, I'm not going to put no more on you than bear. He said, but I'm knitting you, and I'm putting you back together. Check this out. The parade of Palm Sunday was over.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, look down. People clapping their hands, saying, Hosanna is over. They're clapping, and now they're ready to start some trouble. Jesus did not come to Jerusalem for the praise of the crowd anyway.
Well,
nowhere you'll find where he was telling his disciples, go get the donkey, the foal. He said that because that I'm getting ready to go to this parade. All he's saying, I'm going to go into the city because that's what the word of God said. He was fulfilling scripture saying, Israel's king will enter into the city on a foal. He was fulfilling scripture. Had nothing to do with no parade.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Maya Angelou, the great poet, has to say, if you don't pick it up, you won't have to put it down. What does she mean? If you don't pick up the praise of people, you will not have to put it down when they start cussing you out.
All right.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, Jesus.
Don't get wrapped up in the press and the celebration people have for you. Because you don't know what they think. think about you until you do something they don't like. Wait until you make somebody mad. Then you will know how they feel about you. Or try this. Let's see if he or she is still crazy about you when you don't have no income coming in. So is that right, Deacon Barry? Sister Barry here for the long haul.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know that.
Bone by bone.
Bone by bone, that's no sense.
That's right.
They don't make them like that no more. Better yet, what about your position change? Some people are with you just because of your position.
Yes, yes,
yes. Luke 19 and 45 says, and he went into the temple and began to throw them out. Jesus throws them out and said, get up. Because they were selling and buying stuff. Say, get out of my house. This is literally right. Listen to this now. This is right after Jesus. They were saying Hosanna to him. Mm-hmm. As soon as they say Hosanna to the King, Jesus gets off the donkey, walks into. Now this is why I serve God. Walks, get off his donkey, walk into the temple, and start and pick a fight. Why would you serve? Anybody say my God is soft, weak. No. Uh-uh. My God lives on confrontation.
Yes.
After they done praised him and said, hallelujah, putting their clothes down, Jesus get up and said, what are they doing in my house? Get out.
Get out.
Get out of my house.
That's right, Pastor.
You make my house a den of thieves.
That's right. Honor his house.
Instead of persisting and extending the celebration, he lived in the confrontation.
Uh-huh.
I'm here to teach you about what it takes. If you're going to be great, you must get over the idea that everybody is going to like you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
If you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be dare to be disliked. Everybody gonna have their opinions, Deacon, but guess what? At the end of the day, that's their darn opinion. Got the word of God. The need to be liked. Watch me, y'all, people of God. The need to be liked will leave you mediocre for the rest of your life. Because if you live in between the clap of my hands. That's just how big you are. Really, I'm too big for the clap of your hands, really. I appreciate it, but I'm not living in your clap. Because that's not what it takes. And you better do some things that everybody's not going to be happy with. But guess what? You didn't die for me. And at the end of the day, I got to work out my own salvation. Not you. You didn't die for me. This between me and Jesus. That's what it takes.
Yes, sir.
That's
right.
God is waiting for a people in New Jerusalem who don't care if anyone likes them or not.
All right, that's right.
You're grown up and you don't care if you got to go to dinner by yourself.
That's right.
Take yourself to the movie because why would you be in the movie with someone who don't respect your beliefs? Who don't respect your drive, ain't got your goals, excuse my grammar, ain't got your goals in mind. And matter of fact, if you are unequally yoked, if they don't believe in your vision and your God. That's what God, this is what God told me to tell you, New Jerusalem. And we got a part two coming. But it's so much more. God wants us to know this, New Jerusalem, Missionary Baptist Church, that you have something that the devil is afraid of.
Yes, absolutely.
My God.
That's why he's trying to kill you. And when I say literally kill you, yes, if we allow him, he will literally kill us.
That's right. That's
what I'm
right.
talking about, he wants to kill your joy.
Yes,
he wants to sabotage your spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wants to get in the psyche of your mind and make you think that God will never do what he said he would do. But see, I know too much about him that I never will doubt him. I know what it takes, that I got to keep my head to the grindstone and press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Jesus!
Jesus!